Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, good evening. Welcome to In My Key with Dr. V. Yes, it's a special segment of Dr. V with Love. And you know you've been with me for years, and I thank you for your loyalty. And I have a surprise for you. I tried to keep it a secret, but I just couldn't. I had to let it out. I have the most awesome guest to interview tonight. You know, it's been a minute since I did In My Key. Yeah, I took a season off and did some other things, but my heart started yearning back to talk to many, many artists about their God-given gifts. The yearning came to celebrate and expose the variety of ways we express the love of God in life, career, business, and ministry, and especially with our gifts. In My Key endeavors to encourage its listeners to embrace their unique giftings and share them with the world for God's sake. So, I've teased you long enough. Guess who my special guest is? I know you missed him like I have. Yeah, I miss him a lot. He would be in the person of Latino A2J. Woo! Bells and whistles, drums, and all that kind of good stuff. Welcome, Latino. Okay. Well, maybe Latino's not on yet. So we really tease you a lot. He's coming on. I asked him to call in at 11:15, and he's going to call in 11:15. So guess what? We have to do this all over again when he rings through, right? Yeah. I love what God is doing with us. But anyway, again, you know how we do. We always do this, and we're excited about doing it. We open up any broadcast that we have, Dr. V with Love, In My Key with Dr. V, Genesis Talks with Dr. V, Dr. V Presents, you know, Life Plus Me and Plan B, whatever segment I'm doing, doesn't matter. I just give God the glory. We pray, okay? So,
what are you doing?
So we encourage you to pray along with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We glorify your name, Father. We magnify your name. You're so awesome. You're such a good and just loving God, and we thank you. We know without a doubt that if we have any giftings, it comes from you. Scripture says in John that all good and perfect gifts come from above, from the Father of lights. Oh, God, thank you for gifting us musicians, actors, preachers, teachers, singers, and anybody with any kind of talent that gives you glory, Father God. We thank you for them tonight. We are nothing without you and everything with you, Father, and we just are amazed and how you continue to bless us exceedingly abundantly above what we could think or ask. So we ask you, Father God, to be the real host of the show tonight, be our honored guest as well. But for sure, allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us so that someone might hear something tonight that might bless them, that they might look at the gift things that they have, Lord God, and say, God, I thank you for these gift things. I thank you that I can bless the kingdom with these gift things, and I lift them up to you. I do not just stand in any limelight, any spotlight, and say, oh, this is me and this is who I am, but I give you all the glory for what you've given me to bless the kingdom with. And Father, if someone listens tonight and they haven't accepted you as their Lord and Savior, oh my God, let us be that conduit to where they can clearly hear you calling them and drawing them with cords and bands of love, and let them say yes tonight. Father, we're excited about how you anointed this broadcast to draw others unto you and lift them. Oh, Father, thank you for what you do. And it's in Jesus' name that we praise you and we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to try this one more time. Yes, 11:15. We have, again, an awesome guest. I know you've missed him as much as I have. I have missed him tremendously. And he was always the voice of reason. And Dr. V with love and all the different formats we've had. I want you to help me. You got to really help me do this. I want you to help me welcome back to our show for a special interview on what he's doing, Latino A2J. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Yeah, here he is. God, oh, thank you. Latina, you there?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing, Dr. V?
Good. I've given you two introductions. I saw someone else on the line at 757. I thought it was you, so you missed the first one. That was the original one. Welcome back to our show. We've missed you.
It's good to be missed.
Yes. You've been busy. You've been busy in the everything is blowing up. Let me let some people in here. You've been busy doing what you do, and we're excited that you've been busy this there, and we just want to release you now to let me let your guests. Okay, there you go. Hold, yeah. Because, yeah, they want to listen. Just break right on into the interview, because I want you to have plenty of time to tell us what you've been busy doing since you were last on our show. And I'm going to ask you this one question. What is the Christ factor?
Well, it's different than its original conception. The vision of it at the beginning was it's talent that comes together on the stage. I have three judges, and they that are professional in different areas of not only ministry, but in one of our judges is a comedian, and he's also a pastor. He goes around the country doing comedian stuff and preaching as well. He's a pastor at a church in Portsmouth. It's called a Village Church. And then we have a Christian rapper by the name of Kamikaze Revy. He's one of our judges. And then we have a worship leader by the name of Jan. And she does worship for the church she goes to. And she's always blessing us, because there's nothing like setting the tone for any show. And your opening act, or your the person that welcomes the people in, they really set the tone. And for us, she sets the tone for Christ to enter in and minister to people. So those are the three judges. The show is based on people come in, they audition. When they audition, we see the talent that's in front of us, and we get to pick from all of it to get the best. Not necessarily the best talent, but overall the desire and how God leads us, because we're not always looking for the perfect voice. We're not always looking for the seasoned veteran. We're looking for where God leads us, that certain people need mentoring. So the show started with the concept of there's a lot of people in church that don't have the ability or the opportunity, should I say. They have the ability. They don't have the opportunity to get on stage and see if their gift is something that is a genuine gift from God, and if that's their ministry. So I put the show together to give those people who don't have access to a stage, access to these people, these judges that have the ability to sharpen their gifting, to make their gifting better, to make their talent more crisp, to let them know where they're missing it and how to get it better. So that's what the show was conceived to be, and it was poetry, singing, dancing, but it's evolved. Now it was rapping at one time and poetry. It's always been poetry, but we've changed some of the things. Like this year, because it's our fifth one, we've implemented the short film. So if you have like a 3-minute film showcasing certain things about, we put a title on it called "The World in the Church," but it's a little bit different than that. So they can audition that, and then we see it, and we see if God leads us to put it on the show where they actually compete, and they compete for $500. So the Christ factor is your gifting focused on Christ, not on you and not on the crowd. We're also, and I'm going to say this for the first time because nobody knew, along with it's $500 that the prizes are, and we have three prizes, first, second, and third. In addition to that, we're going to have the judges are going to actually take time out, two Fridays out of the month, and actually show you how to worship. And that's the person who wins and them alone, not in a crowd, not with other people there, but actually show you how to get in the presence of God and actually hear from God so that the relationship becomes more intimate between you and God. Because once you worship God and it's just you and Him, when you're put on stage to perform the gifting that you have, you recognize that the gifting is only an extension of God through you, so that it takes away all the pressure, because then it's on God. So if we show you how to focus in on Him when you get on stage, you'll be ready, because everything will come from Him, and you focus yourself on Him, and that kind of opens it up.
You know what? I see that so clearly. I can't remember if it was the first or the second one. At one point, you had me to be a judge at the Christ Factor, and I remember sitting there in that judge's seat, thinking, this person is ministering to me. It's not a performance. I really feel and I see, and I feel the presence of the Lord within their presentation, within their performance, and that's the person that was easy for me to go, yeah, this person, you know, they got it, you know. And again, it wasn't like they were I was looking at their professional stage performance. I was really, you know, desiring to see the presence of the Lord, you know, within their presentation. And when I saw that, it was a no-brainer. Okay, this person has it. So I could see as you were sharing that this is powerful. How has, Latino, your role in the Christ Factor changed from the first one?
Well, at the beginning, I was doing everything. I was getting the auditions, setting up when they would come. I would be the one judging them. I would get the judges. I would get the host. I would have to do the sound booth and make sure that was right, make sure that the mics, that everybody showed up on time so that we could do a mic check. And when you're doing that, because the first one we did, we had three categories, but there were seven contestants in each category. So that's 21 people, and I had to do it all. And I did it all because I didn't have a home base at the time. My friend Todd Wilson, which is a tremendous pastor at Real Life Church, when I told him I was doing this, he told me, well, come, and you can have the church, and I want you to to do it, so you don't have any restrictions on you. Because where I was at the time, I had restrictions. I had to, you know, sometimes there's too much red tape, and what God puts in you to do, it can't get done the way God envisions you to do it. So with restrictions, you kind of have to do everything yourself. So I was doing too much. I mean, I couldn't. Primarily, I should have been hosting the show from the beginning because I knew what God had put in me and how I wanted the contestants to feel when they were up there.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was doing so much, I had to give that role to somebody else. Now we're in the fifth one because you were judging the second one. Because we had the first one, the second one. The third one was really a recap of everything. The fourth one, which we just did last year, and now this one. I'm doing this year what I did last year, which is just hosting. Now, I put everything together behind the scenes, but I have a tremendous staff. I call them the real-life crew. They, JoJo does the AV. I don't have to worry about that. Jeff, he handles all the, like, if a person needs a mic and then the next act needs a chair and then the next one needs something else, he handles all of that.
Like
so
the stage manager, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's on it. I mean, he's on it. And then I have Asia, which is in the back, because I like it to be more like, and my wife, of course, Cookie, she's in the back with them, getting them prepared to come up so that everybody, they're in the back room, and they come in one by one, the contestants. Once we get to the Christ Factor itself, not at the auditions is really laid back because it's just us. There's no crowd or anything. It's just us. So Asia is in the back, and we have like a dialogue. Like, I'll ask her who's next, and then she'll tell me who's next. She'll introduce them, and then they come to me, and I don't have to introduce them. All I have to do is make them feel comfortable before they perform for the judges. I ask them some questions to get them a little familiar with the judges and get the judges a little familiar with them, so it's more comfortable and more inviting for them, so they're not nervous. So when they step up there, I'm with them. So it's like I'm a part of them, and I'm, okay, we're going to do this together. I'm going to step back, but it's you're safe because that's what I want them to feel. So that's how my role has changed. Before, I was in charge of everything. I couldn't have hands-on with the contestants. I couldn't get personal with them, and that's what I want to do. I crouch this in the fact of entertainment and an event, but that's not what it is. This is ministry for me and for the real-life crew that's with me. That's what it is. So we want to make people feel comfortable. So when they get up there, they give out their gift, and it's not like a competition. It's more like a releasing. This is what God gave me. How can we make this better? How can you help me make it better? And that's – so my role has shifted completely to where I'm having more fun now than I did at the first three. The last year was the best for me because I could breathe when I was up there. I wasn't running and trying to, okay, make sure the lights are right. And this lady needs a chair. And don't forget her mic. So now, last year, I was just chilling. It was so laid back for me that when the pastor went to introduce me, I just started dancing up on stage. And when we were taking halftime, I started dancing with my wife up on stage. So it was real relaxing, and everybody had a great time because we want you to come and have a good time and have a good time. God is not boring. God is not. He has all the entertainment there is. So when you come, you should leave feeling loved, not feeling ministered to, but that's what it is, not feeling entertained like we entertained you. You should leave feeling loved. These guys, there was so much love in there. And that's what we try to do. So my role has changed because now I'm able to love on people and get people that really know how to love engaged in it with me in every aspect of it. My crew is dedicated to each act individually. We're not thinking of the show. We're thinking of the people. And each person that comes in, we want to take care of them. We want to nurture them and minister to them so that they know what love is, because when they leave us, I want them to know what love is. So when they meet it out there that it's not looking out for them, they can discern, these people ain't looking out for me. They've got a hidden agenda, and it's not the way, you know, the Christ factor, the way they made me feel. So my role has changed completely, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Wow. Well, I can remember as if it happened just yesterday how I felt when I left the Christ Factor, you know, the second one. And I felt like I had been in worship. The last 2 hours, I felt like I'd been in the presence of the Lord. And so you cannot be in the presence of the Lord and feel it and not feel love, that's for sure. I'm curious, Latino, you've done it, this is going on your fifth time. Have you had the opportunity to talk to your participants, the ones who came to share their giftings afterwards? How they felt actually releasing those gifts during the Christ Factor, and how even afterwards their life changed one reason or another, what the impact that Christ, their participation in the Christ Factor had on them.
Well, a lot of people they don't really get it. Some of the contestants, not all. Some of them get it, and some of them don't. And I'm okay with that, because with God, it's timing. And their timing may have not been to get it just yet, but it's like it will hit them at a point, and they will receive, and they will know, because God will snap it with it. But for some of them, the minute they were out of it, they wanted to start it again. They wanted to redo it. They wanted to, and we allowed some to come back and participate again in it and be a part of it as far as contestant wise. I've sent out this year. I've sent out to them to all the winners for them to see if they could contribute in a different way. Being that it blessed them so much, if they can contribute first of all with prayer. To pray for us that God would continue to make the focus of what we're supposed to do clear to me and to the crew under me, so that we can make sure that we don't miss a step, because we don't want to do the same thing last year if God doesn't want us to. But if God wants us to do the same thing, we want to do the same thing. So we want to be really sensitive to what God wants, because it's not about us, and it's not, again, it's not entertainment. It's ministry, so we have to move when he moves and stand still when he stands still. So I've reached out to them, and I'm waiting for them to respond back. I've had a couple that responded back and very positive, and they want to do whatever it is I need them to do to help the new people coming on. Because one of them has released a book shortly after they left. They finished the Christ Factor with us. Another one is two of them are authors now of poetry books. One of them is author of a child's book. The other one is a author of a poetry book. One of them is highlighting in one of the venues down here for and I forget the name of it. I meant to write it down and I didn't. He's a rapper. His name is Malik Fisher, and he won the first Christ Factor. He's done two or three videos after that are really good. If you get a chance to go on YouTube and watch them, they're really good.
Awesome.
And he's evolved from what he was, because that was a stepping stone for him. Once you find out that God is really in what you're doing as far as ministry, you're able to move forward with no restrictions. Because I think a lot of people are not sure whether what they're doing is an anointing of God or something that they want to do. Because sometimes what you want to do and what God wants you to do are not the same thing. So
that's true.
Because Peter was a fisherman. He was going to be a fisherman for the rest of his life. And so God said, yeah, that's not what I'm asking you to do. You're going to be a fisher of men, not of fish. And that's what he became. Paul was, you know, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, and God said, that's not what I got for you. Moses was raised as a Pharaoh's son in Egypt. He was in control in the palace, and God said, that's not what I got for you. So I got to, you know, you learn that stuff, but now I got to teach you what I really have for you. So sometimes your gifting is exactly what it's supposed to be. But if you don't know what it feels like to be connected to God through your gifting, you may sputter a bit. So when you really feel connected, you start to blossom because you realize that the thrust that's behind you and pushing you forward is not you. It's God's anointing. And once you discover that, there's no door that can shut to you because the door only stays shut because God wants you to learn something before he opens it. Because once he opens it, you're going to be ready to move through it. And this guy, Malik Fisher, has Madeline Garcia. She's another one that she's all over the place, everywhere. I mean, she's doing shows here and there. She's been on television. And that's what we want to do. The one thing that that was impressed on me when I first started this, because at the beginning when I first did the first one, and I don't think I've told anybody this, sometimes at the beginning of when you're doing something for God, you think it's about you. And you're like, okay, I'm supposed to be successful about it. So I'm supposed to become another Simon Cowell. I'm supposed to be it. People are supposed to be like, yeah, wherever he touches, we want to be there. And I was like, God, all these people are getting accolades, and I'm not getting anything. What's I thought this was for me. And I felt impressed that in my heart that I was told that, and there's no voice or nothing. I'm not telling you that God talked to me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that God has a way of saying something to you that you know wasn't from you. And the question that was brought to me is, if I want you to hold the door open so other people can walk through, do you have a problem with that?
Wow.
And I said, no, God, if you want me holding that door open, that's what I'm going to do. Because if that's what you want for me to do, then nobody else can hold that door the way you want me to hold it. That's why you chose me. So I hold the door so they could come through. Because the enemy told me something. I even wrote it in a poem. He says, you're just the one, Nelson, that other people step on as they reach for their future. He tells me that. And then right after that, God told me, if I want you to hold the door open, is that going to be a problem? I said, no. Because if you want me to hold it, it's because nobody can hold it the way you want me to hold that door open. So I'm good. The only accolade I need, God, is that you tell me, okay, you did good. We can do another one now. You did good. Let's move into something else. And that is, it's eye-opening because everything that I tell people, even in my ministry, is that it's not about you. It's about you at the cross. You get saved. It's all about you at the cross. Jesus died for you on that cross. You come to the cross, it's all about you. Everything he did was about you, getting you to where you need to be in Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself. That's what it says, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, fixing the relationship that got broken. At that point, it's about you. When you get saved and you come under the anointing, it's not about you no more. At that point, you turn around from the cross, and it's about everybody else. And that's the riveting part for me, that it was about me at the cross. I'm no longer at the cross looking for salvation. I'm already saved. Now I have to look and become what he told Peter to be. Just feed my sheep. That's all. Just feed them. So.
You know, that's a powerful testimony you have about, you know, your that conversation, that inner knowing what the Father has asked you to do, to open the door for others. When the lights are turned off and the parking lot is empty and you walk into your car, you know, maybe exhausted from you know, the full day and evening activities, but have you ever just had that sense when it's over, any one of the first four, that, you know, you have, how can I say it, you've done all that you knew to do to make sure that Christ was the center of everything, what that feeling is like when it's, like I said, when the lights are out and the parking lot is empty for you?
It's Let me use the right word. The most the most intense time for me is right before the show and right after the show. Right before the show, because I want to make sure I don't miss anything God wants me to do. That I don't miss anything, that I don't forget anything that He wants me to focus in on. And that I focus in on things during the show that He wants me to notice. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody in the row is crying, and I need to get someone from my crew over to them to make sure that their crying is something that God that they may need to talk to someone. They may need to unleash that or to reveal it to someone, or and that it's ministry. So when they're
ministry,
feeling
right.
something. I want to have my people there. I don't want to get so caught up in the show that I miss the things that God is telling me. You need to pay attention to this. So that's before the show. After the show, I'm critiquing everything I did and how I could do it better. Did I let them down? Did I miss something? Did I forget to say something? Did I forget to thank somebody? Did I forget to acknowledge Him? Did we represent Him well? That's after the show. And there's always things after that you see you could have done a little better. You could have, changed it. But those are the most challenging times, is before and after. And the reward for me doesn't come immediate. It comes in time, because I could be doing my next show, and then something will happen with one of the winners, and then I'll see that it was a result from the show. And that's the blessing that God gave me the responsibility that they put that gift in my hands for a certain amount of time. Did I help them get closer to God in it? Not help them get closer to fame. Help them get closer to God. Because if they get closer to God during that, they'll handle the fame. But if I give them as another avenue for fame and not a deeper connection with God, the fame will destroy them. Because God isn't looking to bless you with things. He's looking to give you a relationship with Him that no matter what He gives you will not overtake you. Those are the crucial things for me.
When you were talking about the people you have on your staff, one position really, really blessed me, and I've seen her in action, and that was your wife, and I think your daughters were helping you as well at the time. What was it like, you know, for you to bring your family on board with you in the vision for the Christ Factor? How did you? Go ahead.
It's rewarding because I get to they get to see me doing something that God controls, not me. I do my preparation before, but when we're on there, it's all God. And my daughter Sabrina, she handles all of the tallying of the scores. She, you know, the judges give the scores because they rate you on different on stage appearance, and there's a bunch of different things they rate you on. I think like 7 different things. Stage appearance. My wife put that together with my daughter. Stage appearance and the way you project the gift and different things. So they rate you on that from a score, I think, from 1 to 5, and then they give the papers to my daughter Sabrina, and then Sabrina tallies it up to make sure that everything that it comes up with a score, and then she holds it, staples it together, and she keeps it for that person. And on the bottom, the judges write a little bit of something that they may want to critique the person, but they do get to tell them that, but they also write it down. And then my other daughter, Pamela, she helps me put the show together and the audition part. This year, she's actually going to have a dance routine that she's going to do in the middle of the show. Now, this competition, because I usually do something personal in each show that's for me. Last year, I did a video that was for me promoting videos that we do put together. And so this year, she's going to do it's almost like a halftime show, but it's not a halftime show. It's just so you get an idea of what it is. She's going to do a dance routine to a song, and with a friend of hers. So she's going to do that this year. Last year she put the intro together. She put the lineup for me together. And my wife is there to make sure that I don't go extra, that I stay in my lane, that I stay where I'm supposed to stay.
Well, you know, that's what wives do best, right?
Yes, isn't that the truth? That's why I need them all in there so they can partake of what God's doing, but that they can also see that there's other avenues to bless people with that have absolutely nothing to do with being on stage. The real life crew I have, they do everything behind the scenes, which allows me to stand up there. And they're so, you know, they're so, they don't care about being recognized. They care about, we got to get this right for God. We got to get this right, you know. So, like last year, I was up there at halftime, I was dancing. My wife comes up to dance with me, and she was dancing with me. We danced for about a good 2 minutes, and then as she was leaving, she says, okay, we're done. We can move on. So let me know that, okay, you need to keep moving. We're not staying here. So it's great to have my family in it, for one, that they can feel what God is doing, and the other part is that they can get a sense of how things are done with God that's not the way the world does it. Because the world does things, they want to do it decently and in order, but they want to do it decently and in order according to them. And the one thing I've learned is that being decently and in order with God doesn't look like it is decently in order with us. Because Christ did everything on that cross decently and in order. And it looked like chaos. It didn't look like it was decent. The disciples themselves said, what do we do now? And, you know, so I've learned that when God is in it, I don't care what it looks like. I just keep following his lead. I just keep following his lead.
So you have your family, and they're part of the ministry with you. What about your peers? Because it was interesting. I've had you here in Richmond to my church to minister to my young people, to my congregation, and most of them being young people, and they're still impacted by what you dropped in the house just there. And they love it because you sit down eye to eye level with them and you talk with them. You know, you didn't come, you know, as this, you know, formal preacher behind the pulpit and stay behind there and, you know, and railed out, you know, some do's and don'ts and what have you. But you talk to them in a very, you know, now kind of practical way, and so they often speak of that. When you're with your peers and they see you doing ministry not as usual or differently, what kind of feedback do you get, if any, from your peers of how you're doing ministry? Because this is very different what you're doing.
Yeah, it's different. I've realized that I'm different because God made me this way. And there's certain ways I dress that is just the way God put me. There's certain, when I do a sermon, I always have a PowerPoint because I need to engage you with the avenues of receiving information that God has blessed us with. Like he's given us the eye gate and the ear gate. That's how we receive information. So I want to engage both of those things when I'm with you. So I use a lot of words so you can hear it, but I use visual things so that you can see where I'm taking you, so you can see where God is directing, so you can make it, so it's more real to you when you see it and you can connect with it. My peers don't understand me, I tell you the truth, but they don't bother them because I'm not like everybody else. My pastor is, he's, that man is such a, he's such a promoter of others. He pushes you. He sees things in me. I'm like, what are you looking at? Because I don't see it. And he says, you
don't
see
it. That's what pastors supposed to do.
I try to do everything the way God makes it comfortable for me, because I know that's that's where I feel comfortable. And if he mm-hmm. if I do it that way, because we're different. I mean, I'm about to do a retreat, but we call it a retreat. It's actually an encounter with my three, you know, with two of my mentors. I have five mentors. I'm doing it with two of them. Richard, you met them both, Richard and Daryl. Daryl
awesome,
Harris
man.
And Richard Pickett. Yes, and these guys, they you know, we're about to do an encounter next weekend on the 22nd, the 23rd, 24th with about 20 men to kind of focus them on what a relationship with God looks like, because we're not really real men are not really shown what a real relationship with God looks like. We're shown what a relationship with Hollywood or with God through Hollywood looks like, and that's killing us because it's not the way it's intended. So my peers, the ones that are in front of me, they understand, but I make people uncomfortable. I think my way of ministering interferes with people's lives, and they don't like it because it forces you to ask the question, are you really engaged with Christ, or are you just playing with Christ? And, and because I'm black and white, and a lot of people don't like that. They don't like you to interfere with their comfort zone. They don't like you to interfere with their life. They say, God and you're okay. Why are you making it hard? And I'm not. And I tell them, I'm not making it hard. I'm making it clear. Some of my friends love it. Other ones, they like talking to me. They don't like being in the house when I minister.
But you're okay with their uncomfortability because you know what? Jesus, how you say, I'm not going to use that word that came to my mind, but Jesus annoyed some people too. The way he rolled.
People think that Jesus only talks sweet to people. They must not remember when he told the Pharisees, you make your disciples three times more the child of hell than you are. That don't sound good.
Mm-mm.
So you have your father the devil. That don't sound good either.
Mm-mm.
So Daryl and Richard tell me all the time, you know, when we want the fight to start, we'll call you, Nelson. Until then, step back and relax. when they can't hear us and God says it's time to send Nelson in, then you know it's about to get real, you know. But I'm good with that because and let me say this right, I'm not subjected to any man. But God has put people in my life that can tell me to sit down and shut up, and I will sit down and shut up. My pastor, I don't care what if he tells me, Nelson, enough, sit. I'm not even talking back. I'm sitting. I'm shutting. He's earned that. He's earned it. Richard, he's earned it. Daryl has earned it. Steve has earned it. Robert has earned it. These guys that formulate who I am, they've earned the right to tell me, Nelson, sit down. You sit down. There are other men that have been in my life that they can't walk the walk, so they can't tell me. When you walk the walk, I will shut up and sit down. Because then you're telling me through authority and through anointing, and you're looking out for me. A lot of people want to tell you to be quiet because they fear what you're saying. So, and I've gone a long way around answering that for you.
No, I wanted them to hear that because, you know, a lot of times when you come across, you know, confident and strong in your convictions and your beliefs, people think that you may think that you're not humble and teachable and you know, that you are accountable to those who, you know, that God has put in your life to be your Nathans and your, you know, and your Deborahs and what have you that's there. So I wanted them to hear that, you know, as well. about you too. I believe you certainly is no doubt when you talk, there's evident in your talk that you reverence God.
Let me say one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say one more thing. You said about the kids. It's funny to me, amusing to me, that kids never have a problem with the way I talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Never. They never mm-hmm. feel like I'm trying to shove something down their throat. They always feel like I'm trying to not inform them. They feel like I'm trying to communicate with them, and that's it. I'm not trying to tell kids what they should or should not do. I'm trying to tell them, you have to understand that there's consequences, and that's what I'm trying to get you to see. See the consequence mm-hmm. that's coming before the action, and then you'll think about the action before you commit it.
Awesome. Well, we have 5 more minutes left in the broadcast, so now I want you to tell those who have not heard about the Christ Factor and how they can participate in this awesome ministry and gift presentation, how they can get involved immediately.
Well, they can go on Facebook to the Christ Factor, and you just push that up, and you can see. You can go to Latino Way to Jail. You can come to Nelson Marrero. Either one of those Facebook pages will give you the information. The audition is at Real Life Church, and that's on May the 21st, which is a Saturday, and it's from 12 to 3 o'clock. So you come in through that door at any one of those times, and we're going to hear you. I'll be there with the Real Life crew, and my wife will be there. My daughter will be there. Because we're the ones that formulate what the judges are going to see, what talent they're going to see. If you have a short film you want to send to me, you can send it to me at cox.net, or you can put it on Facebook in a message to me. You don't have to be at the auditions to submit your 3-minute film. But you do have to be at the Christ Factor if you want to be considered. Once we let you know that you've made it, you have to be at the Christ Factor. If for some reason you're singing or you're dancing or you're doing poetry and you can't make it to the audition, you can also email it to me, or you can put it message me on Facebook, and then we'll play it for my daughters and for my crew, and they'll decide which one. So if you can't make it to the auditions, it's not a problem. Just let me know. Send me whatever it is that you want to audition for. It's 3 minutes to 4 minutes, and we'll consider it. You will have to be there at the show, and we will contact you and let you know. We've got about 8 or 9 people already that will be showing up for the auditions. So, you know, again, it's May the 21st. It's from 12 to 3. It's at Real Life Church. The address is on the website. Again, Latino AJ or the Christ Factor, just come there. I'm going to I'm sure Dr. V will put the information, the flyer on her page. I'm sure she already has.
Right.
And you guys can look at it and see the dates. And if you have any information or any questions, my phone number is down there. You can give me a call and I'll talk to you. If I don't answer because I'm at work, just leave me a message and I'll get back to you and give you an audition spot. So you know to come. Again, it's from 12 noon until 3 in the afternoon on May the 21st. Those are the times for the auditions. If you can't make it, that's fine. Send us a video.
One quick question just came up in my spirit. What if you're not sure if you want to audition, but you want to come and observe the auditions just to see what it's all about? Or you have to, you know, when you come on the 21st, you have to want to participate.
Right. This is how we do the auditions when you come in. Nobody sees your act but us. You're not going to be sitting there with 12 other contestants and they're going to see what you're doing. Everybody that comes in, we send them to a different room, and then we send them in one at a time to audition for us. So you don't see anybody else's stuff. They don't see yours, and there's no pressure because we make the choices. God tells us who it is. He'll show us who it is that we should put in the show. And again, it's not the best talent, the best singer. It's the way God moves you in your gifting that will let us know he wants you in the Christ Factor to audition in front of the judges.
Mm.
But it's all about ministry. It's not about entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to prepare you so that you can minister to others, because we, as children of God, are not entertainers. We minister in everything he gives us. Everything should minister to people. Should make them want to get closer to whoever it is that's leading us in it. It's not about a look. It's not about your clothes. And I'm big on clothes, but it's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what gifting God has given you. Because when you take when you rip off the clothes and put rags on them, if your gifting can still reach people, then that's it. It's not about your appearance. My appearance, this is the way I am. That's the way I am. So it's not, my gifting does not come with the clothing. My clothing comes with who I am. And God doesn't want to remove who you are. He wants to make the gift in you so powerful that people don't even notice that you're there because they're so concentrated on the gift you have.
That's it, and that's what I've seen. Well, there you have it. Why, what, when, who, all of that you have in this interview. We hope that as you listen live and archive, that you'll make a decision to present your gift in the kingdom and be a part of this ministry, releasing this there. And that the Bible says, just like he says in the Word of God, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. Same thing. If you have a gift, hone your gift. You know, the Bible says in a multitude of counselors there's much safety that's there. When God has given you something and he wants you to use that for his glory, don't shy away from putting it, allowing it to be put under, as it were, a microscope so people can say, you know, that's really great. And what I'd like to see you do is try this or that or the other. And so I want people to sharpen me. Iron sharpeneth iron. It's all to the glory of God. I love the way Latino says it is not a performance. It is ministry. Want to invite you to this ministry, the Christ Factor. The visionary founder, Latina ATJ, he is a safe person to be with and to present your gifts before so that they might be glorified, might glorify God in your presentation and releasing. This has been In My Key with Dr. V. We're out of time, but you know we'll be back on about Saturday, 4 p.m., as we showcase the Love Zone. I'm Feeling Love Ministries. That's there where I am the senior pastor, and our congregation waits to embrace you in love. Latino, thank you for all you do. I love you, and you know I'm going to be calling on you really, really soon to come back again and help us do something awesome. Thank you so much.
Good love.
All righty. Good night, everyone. We love you.